This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. خلأت القصواء. خلأت القصواء. The companions began crying this out when they were telling the camel of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to go forward, but it refused. And so the Prophet ﷺ, when hearing that being said about his camel, he said, مَا خَلَأَتِ الْقَصْوَاءِ وَمَا هُوَ لَهَا بِخُلُقٍ. No, she has not become stubborn. خَلَأَتِ الْقَصْوَاءِ, يعني she's an animal, a riding animal, has become stubborn, has become obstinate, become defiant. It's not going forward when we're telling it to going forward. The Prophet said, no, that's not the character of my camel, قَصْوَاء. He said, وَلَكِنْ حَبَسَهَا حَابِسُ الْفِيلِ. But rather, the one who stopped the elephant on the attack of the Kaaba, the army of Abraha, is the same one who stopped Qaswa. Now, why did he say this? The Muslims set out with 1,400 companions to perform Umrah in the 6th year after Hijrah. They even took animals for sacrifice when that is not a part of Umrah. Animals aren't offered for sacrifice. To make abundantly clear to the Quraysh, we're coming not with intention of war nor of fighting, but to honor the sanctity of the Kaaba and to perform Umrah. They didn't bring their weapons of war, even though they're going to people who have been at war with them. And when the Quraysh heard of this, they sent Khalid bin Walid, the undefeated general, at the head of 200 men to attack them. But news reached the Prophet ﷺ, and so he took a different route, evaded Khalid's army, and reached a place called Hudaybiyah. And there, this statement was made, خلأت القصواء. قصواء has refused to move. And the Prophet said in response, no, حبسها حابس الفيل. Rather, the one who stopped قصواء is the one who stopped the elephant. It's interesting because why did Allah choose to stop قصواء here? Why were the Muslims stopped from going forward? When we know it is the Messenger of Allah saying, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that it is Allah who stopped the camel. And Allah says in Surah Al-Fatih, in a surah, the whole surah in its entirety revealed about this incident, Allah says, وَلَوْ قَاتَلَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوَلَّوُ الْأَدْبَارَ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُونَ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. If you had fought the disbelievers, you 1,400 who set out with no weapons other than what you take in normal travel, if you were to fight the whole of the Quraysh in their base, in their home, in Mecca, they would have been defeated. Allah says they would have been defeated. So Allah is telling the believers victory is right there, yet it is Allah who stopped this from happening. Why? See, before we answer that question, we have to look at what happened in the events after the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet sent in messengers to Quraysh to tell them, look, we've come for Umrah, we haven't come for fighting. And this was unknown, this was not something that would even be recognized amongst the Arabs, that someone comes to perform Umrah, to perform Tawaf around the Kaaba, and they would be prevented, let alone someone from their own people. So the Prophet sent messengers, and a rumor was spread that one of his messengers, Uthman ibn Affan, was killed. Uthman ibn Affan was sent to give the message to the Quraysh, and a rumor had spread that he was killed. Why was that rumor spread? Because the man that was sent before him, Kharash ibn Umayyah, when he went, they killed his camel and they almost killed him, but his tribe prevented them from doing so, and he came back. So the Muslims are already on edge. And so the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he gathers the companions and he tells them, come give me a pledge. Now, a pledge for what? What is this pledge for? What's interesting is the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell them what the pledge is for. The scholars differ of what was the reason for the pledge. Some say it was a pledge that we will fight to the death, even with no weapons. But this, the killing of the messenger of Allah, the son-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the greatest companions, Uthman, we will fight to the death. Or they say that they pledge that they will not flee in battle, they won't flee in war. And the third is actually very interesting. They pledged that whatever is in your heart, O Messenger of Allah, we pledge to that. We will commit to whatever you want, and we don't even know what that is. That level of submission to the will of the Messenger of Allah. That it doesn't matter what you ask of us, we are ready to do whatever it is. You see, the Quraysh also sent emissaries to the Messenger of Allah to negotiate with him, to talk to him, to find out what's his intention. And Urwa ibn Mas'ud, he was one of the leaders of Ta'if. You know that when Allah says, لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَى رَجُلَيْنِ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ, that why عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ, why wasn't this Qur'an sent to one of the two great men from these two cities, a man from these two great cities? It was referring to this man, and from Ta'if and Mecca. He had been to the kings of Rome and Persia and Najashi and the like. And so when he came to talk to Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, he would stick his hand out to touch his beard. And this was something that the Arabs would do. Musa alayhi salam tells Harun alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam tells Musa alayhi salam, you know, لا تأخذ بلحيتي ولا برأسي, don't grab me by my beard. So he would reach his hand out to touch the beard of the Prophet ﷺ, but there was a man next to the Messenger of Allah in full armor who would take the handle of his sword and strike the hand of Urwa, this great man, man of position. Say, no, you don't get to touch the beard of the Prophet ﷺ. And so Urwa looked at this man and said, he can't tell who it is. He's covered in head to toe in armor. So he says, this is the most wicked person amongst you. And the Prophet said, you know who that is? That's your nephew, Mughira. Urwa was surprised, like, my own blood, my own nephew is doing this to me. But then when Urwa went back to the Quraysh, he said, I've been to the kings of Persia and Rome and the like, and I have never seen a people who venerate their leader like the companions venerate the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he would spit, they would rush to catch the spit and rub it on their skin and their faces. When he would command them, they would rush to fulfill the command. When they would speak to him, they would lower their voice out of venerating, reverence of the Messenger of Allah. And hatta when they would look at him, they would lower their gaze again out of honor of the Messenger of Allah. So he said, I've never seen a people who honor their leader like them. Do whatever you want. But my advice is, listen to what he has to say. His people will never leave him. So you see these kind of things that are happening in between. Then Suhayd ibn Amr comes, another leader of the Quraysh, and then they begin writing a treaty. A treaty is signed between the Muslims and the Quraysh. And some of the conditions of the treaty weren't favorable to the Muslims. Number one, they had spent a week in travel and have been waiting now several days outside of Mecca. And they are being told, you cannot perform Umrah. Go back. No Umrah. And imagine the anticipation that builds in the heart 6 years later after the Muslims in Mecca were kicked out of Mecca, and the Ansar, who have never performed Umrah before, now going to perform Umrah after a week's long travel and the difficulty and the like, all coming. They're saying, no, go back. You come back next year and you only get 3 days. Not only that, but in the conditions of this treaty, in the ceasefire between the two parties, was what? If any Muslim were to leave Medina and go to Mecca, we can keep him. But if any Muslim from Mecca, and there were many there who were still Muslim but weren't allowed to make hijrah because they were captured, if any of them were to leave Mecca and go to Medina, you have to send them back. Now these are the verbal agreements, and it has to be written down. And as this is being verbally agreed upon, and the Prophet ﷺ agrees to this term, Abu Jandal now shows up. Who's Abu Jandal? He's the son of Suhail, the negotiator for Quraysh. And the companions say, we could see the effects of torture upon him. He was a Muslim, but he was prevented from making hijrah. And he was in the lion's den in Mecca being tortured under the captivity of his own father. And he escaped when he heard the Muslims were at Hudaybiyah. He fleed his captors, and he throws himself with his chains in front of the companions and the Messenger of Allah and the Messenger of Allah himself. And when Suhail sees this, he tells Muhammad, we already agreed. And so this is the first person. The agreement was, if a Muslim comes to you, you send him back.
Prophet said, but we haven't even written it down yet. He said, nope. That's the agreement. If you walk away right now, if you say no, I'm walking away and the deal is off. Then Prophet tries to just say, look, yani, just between me and you, okay, forget all this. Just as leader to leader, man to man, just give me him. And he says, no, absolutely not. And when Abu Jandal hears this, he says, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Ma'ashar al-Muslimin. He calls out, he cries out to the Prophet, all the Muslims who are watching, they're all witnessing this. A man, their own brother, in chains and signs of torture upon him. And he's saying, Uraddu ila al-mushrikeen yaftinunani fi dini. Am I going to be sent back? After I escaped, you're going to send me back? And they're putting me on trial for my religion. And the Messenger of Allah, he could say, Ya Aba Jandal, isbir wahtasib. Fa'inna Allah ja'ilun laka wa ma'aka min muslimina makhraja. Faraja wa makhraja. Oh, Abu Jandal, just be patient. And seek your reward with Allah. For Allah will certainly provide a way out for you and the Muslims who are with you. Now, you have to understand, this is very difficult upon the companions. All these terms, the treaty, seeing Abu Jandal, one of their own. So Umar al-Khattab, yani, he couldn't hold himself. He goes to the Prophet and he says, Ya Rasulullah, Alasta bi Rasulillah, aren't you the Messenger of Allah? Bala, yes. Alasna bil Muslimin, aren't we the Muslims? Yes. Awalaysu bil Mushrikeen, aren't they the Mushrikeen? He said, yes. Fa'ala ma nu'ti daniyata fi dinina ya Rasulullah. O Messenger of Allah, why should we agree to such terms? And the Messenger of Allah, he says in response, أَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ I am the slave of Allah and His Messenger. لَنْ أُخَالِفَ أَمْرَهُ وَلَنْ يُضَيِّعَنِي I will never disobey the command of Allah and Allah will never abandon me. So Umar now, he's like grasping at straws. He said, well, O Messenger of Allah, didn't you promise us that we will perform Umrah? You said we're going to go perform Umrah. And he says, yes, but did I explicitly say it will be this year? He said, no. He said, then you will perform Umrah. But again, Umar al-Khattab, you have to understand the emotion of the companions. Umar al-Khattab, he goes to Abu Bakr al-Anhu, and he says the exact same questions. أَلَيْسَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَلَسْنَا بِالْمُسْلِمِينَ أَلَيْسُ بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ فَعَلَى مَنْ نُعْطِ الدَّنِيَةَ فِي دِينِنَا Aren't we the Muslims? Aren't the disbelievers? Why should we? Isn't he the Messenger of Allah? Why should we agree to such terms? And Umar al-Khattab, he tells him, يَا عُمَرْ إِلْزِمْ غَرْزَهُ فَإِنِّي أَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Oh Umar, stick close to the Prophet of Allah. Because I testify, he is the Messenger of Allah. And Umar then says, وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ And I also bear witness, he's a Messenger of Allah. And to give you an idea, the level of shock, Suhail, he just said that when the Prophet of Allah would spit, they would rush to catch the spit. From the barakah, they would rush to fulfill the command. And now the Prophet ﷺ knows they're going back to Mecca. And so he goes and he tells the companions, sacrifice your animals, shave your heads, we're going back. And nobody moves. The same people who Abu Suhail said this about them, now nobody's listening to the Prophet ﷺ. And so he goes into his quarters and Salama is with him. And he's kind of upset in the Messenger of Allah. He's a little like surprised by this. These are my companions. They'll go to the end of the world for me, but I told them to do it, and they're not doing it. And she said, oh, Messenger of Allah, it's been a difficult few days for them. So why don't you go out and you do it yourself, and they will follow. And so he did, and they followed. Now Umar al-Khattab, he immediately felt regret for what he said, questioning the Prophet ﷺ. And so as the Muslims headed back to Mecca, back to Medina, he stayed in the back of the caravan, worried that Allah will reveal verses about him. How dare you say what you said to the Prophet ﷺ? And then the Prophet ﷺ calls for Umar. And he said, I wish I could die. I wish the earth would swallow me. Because this is it. This is the verses coming. And Umar al-Khattab goes to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ tells him, Abshir, glad tidings, O Umar, congratulations. For verses have been revealed to me that are more beloved than this world and everything in it. Then he recited the verses. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Indeed, we have granted you a manifest victory. And when Umar heard this, he said, Awa fathun hu? O Messenger of Allah, is all of this? Is that victory? Is that nasr? Is that victory from Allah? Is that help from Allah? Awa nasrun hu? Is it truly victory? And he said, yes. وأقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله ولكم فاستغفروه إنه غفور رحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We come back to the verse. 1400 Muslims who have set out for Umrah in their ihram without weapons, and Allah said about them, وَلَوْ قَاتَلَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوَلَّوُ الْأَدْبَارَ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُونَ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. If you were to have fought them, if fighting would have taken place at this moment, it was the kuffar who would have run away and been defeated. And they would have not found anyone besides Allah as a protector or a helper. So why then did the Muslims agree to such a thing? Why would they turn away? Why wouldn't Allah allow the fighting to take place? Tantawi rahmatullahi alayhi says in his tafsir, وَلَوْ قَاتَلَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَأَنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ تِلْكَ الْحَالَةِ. This is why it's important to understand everything that happened on the days of Hudaybiyah. He says, if the disbelievers fought you while you were on this state, مِنْ قُوَّةِ الْإِيمَانِ, from a strength of faith, وَصِدْقُ الْعَهْدِ, and a sincerity in every individual's promise with Allah, because we all have a promise with Allah, وَإِخْلَاصُ النِّيَّةِ, and sincerity in your intention, وَحُسْنُ الْإِسْتِعْدَادِ, and a good preparation, and seeking all avenues, وَمُبَاشِرُ الْأَسْبَابِ, taking all avenues of protection first. He said yes, then they would have been defeated. So why then did the Prophet ﷺ say, وَلَكِنْ حَبَسَهَا عَبِسُ الْفِيلِ, the one who stopped the elephant stopped قَصْوَى, his camel. Allah answers that question if a few verses later in Surah Al-Fatih, where Allah says, وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَن تَطَؤُوهُمْ فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Allah says, if it wasn't for the fact that there were believing men and believing women who you did not know, who were there in Mecca, and if you attacked, you wouldn't have known who they were. You would have killed them, for which you would have committed a sin. So Allah knew something that the believers did not know. You see, we are humans. The companions are humans. Umar al-Khattab is a human. He's seeing what he sees. They're prevented from Umrah. The Muslims are being tortured. His own brother, Abu Jandal, is brought, his own brother in faith is brought in front of them with the signs of torture, and he's sent back to face that same punishment. They're going back to Mecca. They're agreeing to these terms, and we are the Muslims. Where is the help of Allah? You see, we see dhulm, we see oppression, we see killing, and we want victory now. Ceasefire. Well, what about all the injustices that occurred? What about the massacres that have occurred? How many Muslims have been killed? Where is the justice for that? It's human. It's human nature to see that. But you see, Allah, when He stopped Abraha, He knew then that the people of Mecca would be Muslim. When He stopped Qaswa, He knew then that in just 2 more years, the people of Mecca will all accept Islam. وَلَكِنْ حَبَسَهَا حَبِسُ الْفِيلِ. Allah is in control. Allah is in control. But you see what Allah says in the same verses? وَلَوْ قَاتَلَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, if they fought you, they would have ran away. Even when you're in this state, what does Allah say in the next verse? سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ. This is the sunnah of Allah. So if we are those who are truthful in their promise with Allah, and sincere in their intention with Allah, and prepare ourselves spiritually for that moment, if we are of those people, أَوَ فَتْحٌ هُوْ, is it a victory? Certainly it is a victory. Certainly it is a victory. Are we going to be part of that victory? That's the question. Are we spiritually prepared to be a part of that victory? When you imagine an open Palestine, what do you see? Do you see people running in to Masjid al-Aqsa who have never prayed Fajr in the Masjid before? Do you see our sisters without hijab and jilbab running to Aqsa? Do you see people who are engaging in selling alcohol and haram business running into Aqsa? And that's the victory. Those are the people given victory. Is that what you imagine? What do you see? Awa fathun hu? Is it a victory? Are we a people of victory? All of Hudaybiyah showed that the companions, what happened with Abu Jandal, what happened with Uthman ibn Affan, all their response, everything, the Bay'ah of Ridwan, all of that showed that they were ready for victory, so Allah gave the victory. 2 years later, the Muslims enter Mecca with no bloodshed, and all the people of Mecca embrace Islam. May Allah give us tawfiq. Inna Allahumma la ikhtu salluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimin wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Innaka ya rabbana sami'un qareebun mujibud da'awat. Allahumma a'izz al islam wal muslimin wa adhill al shirka wal mushrikeen wa dammir a'da'aka a'da' al din wajma' kalimata al muslimin haqq ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma ارزقنا صلاة في مسجد الأقصى محررين يا رب العالمين. اللهم أيد المسلمين في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي كل مكان وفي السودان يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنهم ضعفاء فقويهم، خوفا فأمنهم، جياعا فأطعمهم، عريا فاكسهم، حفاة فاحملهم، مظلومون فانصرهم، محتاجون إليك يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وأقيم الصلاة.